503-733-2970. Thank you for coming back. 503-733-2970. Hey, Scotty, you aware that David Cassidy was interviewed this morning by a couple of local DJs? I just thought he would like to know. Apparently, they have a slide rule and can convert Eastern to Pacific. That's an emailer who said that. That wouldn't mean. Rick, so your vegan ran shivering like a frightened little girl, all aflutter at the idea of having to face Tonya Harding in the name of his lifestyle. Is it becoming vegan that makes you wimpy, or is it the hippie factor at work? No, I do believe it's the hippie factor.
Yeah, because vegans are usually, you know, not Tim, or no, not a lot of people I know. They kind of are all about being vegan, and they are not hesitant to tell you about
no,
it.
No, that's the thing, and I get the feeling, and I don't know. We're talking about CJ the vegan, who called up, and he issuing a whole lot of threats about how he was going to, because he challenged me to a fight or a boxing match or something. It was like a vegan versus meat eater thing. And then I wasn't going to do that, because, of course, that's going to be nothing. That's, you give me, this is going to be a big slap fight. So that was clearly not going to happen. And so we were recruiting a meat eater from the audience to box him. And then somebody, it was a listener, it was a guy named Will, I think, in the audience, who came up with the idea of Tonya Harding. And so we're looking at it anyway. And so that, but CJ this morning just ran away. So that he bowed out, and said that he did not want to take, part in this. So I had some point here. But no. I get the feeling with CJ though that the vegan was very much, it was, cause some people are vegans, not necessarily by choice, cause like Tim is a vegetarian by choice, right?
Right.
But then you just can't have the dairy.
That's correct.
So so you become, which is the same thing with Sean Couples, our engineer. Sean Couples, our engineer.
Except he's allergic to soy, too, which
really sucks.
Which is bad.
Because what are you left to, what is left to eat there?
Just dirt.
Sticks. That's it. Yeah, it's a whole lot of nothing. Just apples. That's basically all you've got. You've got your strained plums. Because he is a vegetarian, and then, yeah, he can't have any of the dairy either. But I get the feeling with CJ, it's very much a lifestyle choice. Because, again, the dreadlocks and the, and I don't know that it was patchouli oil. I got to tell you that for all of our references to that, that's sort of a cultural shorthand when we talk about patchouli oil. I'm not even really sure what that smells like. Is it like a sweet, or is it a...
I'm not sure.
He smelled very citrusy. Guy is right about that.
So he didn't smell like B.O. He had a scent.
Well...
Oh.
Well, I'm just... It's sort of a... Sort of an entwined together kind of a smell. I mean, look, it's not like I'm anybody to talk, especially today. I went to get a haircut last night, because we're going to this thing tonight, where there's a function that we're going to tonight. And so I want to, you know, I want to be all gross, and my hair's kind of getting out of control and whatever. And the thing is, when you have long hair, it's so much easier. Because when you have long hair, it gets a little longer, no problem. You have short hair, as soon as it starts to get, you got the cowlicks and the alfalfa things, and it's going all in like 9 different directions. Especially because it's this Willamette Week party. And you know the Willamette, as we found
cool
out...
Cool and trendy.
Well, I mean, as we found out that Candidates Gone Wild thing, everybody who's even remotely associated with the Willamette is...
High cheekbones.
Seriously, they've all been buffed to a high shine.
Oh, yeah, they're all pretty there.
I thought it was just Byron and that guy that came with him that one day, but no, it's apparently everybody
it's
there.
It's that Aryan beauty.
Yes. I'm sure they'd appreciate that reference. That should be their slogan. Filled with Aryan beauty. The Willamette Week.
Yeah, I've got to go home and shower.
I won't ever go to anything hosted by the Mercury because I know that it's going to be 10 times as bad there. The Mercury's got to be even hipper.
I went to a Mercury party.
Yeah, there's no way.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know anybody who works there, but I was all excited. I brought all my business cards ready to meet somebody. Yeah. And nobody talked.
No,
to me.
No. They were all in a corner.
Nobody. Yeah.
They're all in a corner talking about.
No, they were all totally stylish and
talking about some lo-fi band that we're not cool enough to know about.
I felt very frumpy.
Yeah. So we got this Willamette thing tonight. So I got to get my haircut last night. Where I sat, man, there's just. And I'm not going to go on and on about pointless crap, but you know, when you call and you say, hey, because I go to Bishop's, and I say, how long, and they won't take it reservations, which is the thing
That's
there.
That's annoying.
Which is totally annoying, and I hate to sound all, like, snippy about it, but I mean, take a write it down! I mean, why would you not, if you're a place that cuts hair, what possible reason is there for them not taking reservations? All you do is somebody calls in, need a haircut, 7 o'clock, and they say, I don't have 7,
because
I have 7:30.
They know we're fools and we'll wait.
But you know, that's gotta be it. And the thing is, I go in and I call ahead and I say, how long for a haircut? And the guy goes, well, it's a 20-minute wait. I've learned now that when they say a 20-minute wait, that is just their stock answer to everything. That is the response, no matter how long the wait time actually is.
I don't need a reservation with the Asian lady cuts my hair. I just walk in, she said, welcome, great cut. How you want hair?
And then she helps the Lone Ranger fight crime, apparently.
I tip her well. She does a great job.
Me cut them hair. Have vague ethnicity.
You do have fantastic hair.
Well, it's the Asian lady who does it.
Okay. Anyway, so I was just saying that. You want wax or pomade? But I call ahead and I go, how long? And the hipster guy at Bishop's is like, 20 minutes, man. Because they've all got the cool disaffected thing going on. And I go there because it's the only place I've ever gotten a good haircut. It's not like I got a whole lot of hair to even worry about now. But it's like when you got very little hair, you got to just, you screw it up. It's screwed up for a long time. There's, you got to be extra careful with it. I don't have extra hair that I can just sort of flop over the other way to cover it up. If you got long hair, you could just part it a different way. And so the guy at Bishop's like, 20 minutes. So I show up at like 7:30. And man, it's, I swear to God, it's like 8:50 by the time they finally get to me.
Never 20 minutes.
Sitting there gnawing off my own leg like a wolf in a trap. And they finally give me the chair and they give me the whole thing. And the woman says, and this is, and I've learned that hideous word, product, that I use. Like, I no longer, because he used to say gel and then he said mousse or whatever, but I don't even know if people use mousse anymore. Do people use mousse?
No.
I don't know. It's just product, which I've learned is good because it means it can mean anything. I don't even know what's in the crap that I put in my hair. So I'm sitting.
It's like the waxy pomade-y stuff, right?
I guess. It's like it's like icing. It's like cake icing.
Okay.
It's like, you know, when you have one of those big squeezy tube things that the chef uses to write flowers on cakes? That's what it's like. It's that consistency. It's like Elmer's glue. That's kind of the consistency that it is. And so, but I'm sitting in the chair, and of course, it's doubly difficult for a man at Bishop's because all the women are hot. And this woman, and this, do you ever do this if you're a guy? You go in someplace, and there's like a really hot woman that provides some sort of service. I don't mean that in a lewd fashion. I mean that she cuts your hair, or she, whatever, she's a waitress. I was talking yesterday about how I can never go to that one restaurant again, which we will not mention because your friend Amanda works there.
Yeah.
And Amanda's all intimidating because she's hot and tattooed and just, and is,
and vegan.
And vegan?
Mm-hmm.
Really? But I can never go there for fear that she would end up waiting on me, and then it's like this whole mixture of like awkward because it's like a friend is waiting on me, but then also I'm intimidated by her because she's hot, and it's all very frightening. From now on, I can only ever just call to that restaurant and then like run in and like throw down my money and run out again before she sees me, because then she'd talk to me, hi Rick, and I go, ah, you know, and I would just have nothing. So at Bishop's, it's the same problem, where there's this one woman, and I'm not going to give her name, and I will not describe her in any way, but they're all, like, all the women at Bishop's are hot and kind of with a weird, ambiguous sexuality, too. Have you noticed that?
Mm-hmm.
That none of them flat out look like a sort of stereotypical depiction of lesbians, but they all kind of look like they might go that way with a beer or two, and so you get at Bishop's sometimes this combination of women where it's, not a combination of women, but women who are a combination of sort of butch and it, like sort of alterna, hot. And that doesn't make any sense, but but where they'll, like the women there will have like the sort of short, spiky hair that one might traditionally associate with the lesbian lifestyle. But then on the other hand, like they've got really tight, like revealing clothing on, and it's, you just don't know how to feel about it.
Are they wearing Birkenstocks by any?
No. And they'll be wearing a shoe that is, I guess, not like I care. I'm just saying, if I'm going to be made uncomfortable, because I'm made. The great thing about spending time with lesbians, if you're a guy, and I'm not talking about a woman who's like bi or bi curious or get me a drink and we'll see where it goes. If you're with a woman who's just flat out gay, it's so great. It must be like what it's like to be a woman and to be around gay men, where you just, like, you don't even care. No pressure, no worries, no hassle, no fuss. Lara, for a while, had this large contingent of friends who were just, like, full-on, like, hi, I am a construction worker lesbian. And it was so great. I'd go over, didn't, you know, if we were going to spend time with them, didn't brush my hair, didn't look in the mirror. Because if you're spending time with a woman that is either straight or bi or you think whatever, doesn't matter whether you've got a realistic chance or not. In your head, you think you've got a chance. And so it's a lot of time looking in the mirror, trying to get your hair tousled in just the right way. Should I put on Brute or Sex Panther today? Which cologne should I go for? But she had this friend, I can give her name now, this friend named Gina, and this is in another state. Her friend Gina is just full on, just completely like Archie Bunker with bosoms. And it was the most refreshing, like relaxed feeling to spend time with her. Cause you go over and she would literally be on the couch with like a Michelob in one hand and like her hand hooked in her pants, watching the Final Four, just breaking wind, just not a care in the world. And it was so great. It was like, hey Gina, hey Rick, what's up? And it's like, it was fantastic. No pressure at all. But when you go to Bishop's to get your haircut, the women have this bizarre, ambiguous sexuality to them. And not in a bad way. I'm just saying it's so confusing to me. It throws off. So I don't know whether to be like sucking in my gut or not. Do I flex and try to look muscular, or do I not worry about it? Do I try to be my normal charming? Because Sarah has seen this. When I try to be really charming and witty with women, it's, and a lot of guys do this. Like some guys, when a woman walks by, guys will just, they'll flex their muscles for no readily apparent reason. I myself have done this. I have been in the front office here, leaning on the desk talking to Carol at the front about something.
And flexing your muscles?
No, well, not for Carol, but like I'll be leaning on the desk talking to Carol about, hey, have you seen that purchase order so we can get some coffee in the freaking kitchen, you know, or whatever. And I'm leaning on the counter, and like some contest winner will come in for a couple or something. Somebody's coming to, like some hot country listener will come in. And I'm immediately like sucking in my gut and like, even though I'm exerting no energy, I'm literally leaning on the counter. I will actually like try to like, I'm just trying to flex my calf muscles here. maybe she'll think I'm hot. You know, and so I go to Bishop's, and I never know whether to do that or not, because you never know if, you never know what team anybody's on. But there is this one hairstylist at Bishop's, who again, I will not identify, who is really just frighteningly attractive, to the point that I try not to get her. But the problem is, it's just a crapshoot there, because they don't take reservations, and unless you, like, you really memorize the schedule of 30 different hairstylists, which I'm not going to do, it's, you know, you never, but it's always her. And so I will sit there, and it's sort of like the wheel on the wheel of fortune, like tick, 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 tick. You know, and it's like me and three other people on the couch, me and three other guys waiting for a haircut. And, you know, and like you just go to whoever's free next, you know. Hairstylist finishes, she gets rid of the guy in the chair. She's like, hey, Mark, you know, and then Mark gets up. And man, last night it's that whole thing where I'm next up on the list and I'm watching the two hairstylists finish. And it's like, who's going to get done first? Who's not her? Not, oh, damn. And so then the hot chick calls me up. Mm-hmm. And then there's all the awkwardness where she's, because of course, because, and this is my point with the long rambling stories, because like Sarah today, who's filling in the gaps in her makeup and hasn't bathed in about a day, I went to get my hair cut yesterday, I have not bathed, I had a long bicycle ride home,
yeah,
after which I didn't shower.
More than a day, too.
More than a day, it was like a day and a half, and that's a day and a half of biking to work and biking home, because I had a bit of a, you know, late night and so forth, and I've got the hair crap in my hair. From not just one day, but 2 days. So today is Wednesday. So I had Monday's hair crap in my hair, the product, and then Tuesday's product in my hair, plus a bike ride. So it's like 2 days worth of hair product and sweat and, like, grime. And then she goes to put her hand into my hair, and I'm just thinking, oh, God damn it. You know, and I feel the... And then I want to be conscientious about it, though, because you don't want to be the guy going to the dentist with, like, bad breath, right? You brush your teeth before you go to the mm-hmm. dentist, but somehow I never remember to wash my hair before I go to get my haircut. And so then I have to have the disclosure. I go, oh, by the way, I have a call. I didn't. It was a late night. I'm trying to sound all like a party animal. Like, oh, it was late night last night. Yeah. You know how it goes this morning. I just, you know, no time to shower. I just, I'm
like David Cassidy.
Yeah. I'm trying to make myself, I'm trying to make it sound as though, like, my lack of bathing and my filthy hair is the result of some exciting party lifestyle. Like, no, Hef and I were at the mansion. We were up late, and then I had that photo shoot this morning. I didn't have time to bathe. But instead, I just, it sounded like a pig. You know, and then so she takes me over, and then she's going to give me the, gotta give me the whole wash and the whatever. And the worst part about having your hair washed at that place, which, you know, she goes and gives you the shampoo, is, of course, that makes the baldness just so much more apparent. Because she takes you and she leans you back in the sink, gives you the hair scrub, you get out of the sink, you walk back over, and it, you know, and it's like, when your hair is sort of dry and you can sort of push it up and spike it around or whatever and try to make it look as though you've got hair, when the woman has just shampooed your hair at the place, and it's like stuck to your head, there is no denying the hair loss. There is no lying to anyone, even yourself, about the state of your follicle health. There's just no getting around that in any way. So there you go. So that was my... But it's this one woman who always makes me nervous. And again, it's because it's the weird, ambiguous, it's sexuality thing. Which is why yesterday when Sarah was talking about going to... Because now, did you go... This is actually, note the segue. This is how I can tie this in. Mm-hmm. So because, again, when I go and it's just like a flat-out, obvious, very butch lesbian doing my haircut, I don't get nervous. I don't have to show off. I don't have to try to be witty. I don't have to try to be charming. Doesn't matter. You know, because it doesn't matter what kind of bait you're using. That's not the fish you're going to catch. So there's no point. I don't have to worry about it. So that was you guys, because you had this bachelorette party last night. And so when we were talking yesterday about where can Sarah go for this bachelorette party, and everybody suggested this place is Silverado. Now, Silverado is a male review, but by definition, that means it's a review for other men. Because there is no, correct me if I'm wrong about this, because there is no sort of permanent ongoing strip club for women. There's just that one little room at the Viewpoint. That's it. And so this is...
And then there's ourselves, but it's, you know,
That's a little different,
like,
though.
Drag
it's a drag queen, so it's different. So you guys ended up going to Silverado, and just the name. I mean, just the fact that it's the Western theme, you know that that's not for women. You know that that's for men.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a gay male review for other gay men, presumably, and then you and your friends.
Yes.
And so I wondered about this yesterday, though, when you were talking about this, because, and again, it's sort of the lesbian thing. You, if you know anything about, I mean, it's not like I'm an expert on lesbian culture, but if you know those people, if you talk to lesbians, they say the one thing they hate is when a guy or a guy and his wife come to the lesbian bar.
Mm-hmm.
They just, more than anything, because you know it's always some swinger, weird couple from the suburbs looking to take home some candy for the night. And it just drives them crazy. So you got to figure that they just hate that. And so I would sort of assume that the same thing would go for you and your girlfriends.
Yeah.
Then it would just, the clientele would just be sort of like, what are
they
the women
were,
doing
they were,
here?
We got the stink eye. But went into Scandals, and they... that's right down the street. I really like that place. They're really nice there.
Now, is Scandals also a gay male establishment?
It is. It's actually said this is a men's club when you walk in.
See, but I just...
So we didn't end up hanging out there. My friend felt uncomfortable because she should have, because people were being really rude.
Now, was it the people who work there, or was it the customers?
It was the people who work there.
Really? I would think you take dollars wherever you can get them.
I've been to Silverado before, and I with a couple girlfriends, and, like, you know, the guys are like, oh, yeah, you're in for free, and they'd look at us and be like, up and down. $10 to get in. Like, yeah, screw you. Like, see, I'm going to pay that.
Ah, see, now you know what it's like.
Yeah.
Women drink free on Thursdays. Men pay. See, now you know.
No, but we ended up having a better night anyway, because then we got to go see fabulous strippers at Mary's Club.
Oh,
really
see,
cool.
Mary's Club, that's what I'm talking
about.
Sat
on the rack with my friend Amber for, like, the entire time drinking Bushmills. Isn't it the rack?
I don't know. The rail.
The rail.
Sitting on the rack is not
no,
what,
no,
it's,
I wasn't
not
the
what it's called.
Sitting on the rail.
wait, hold on. That really calls for the... thank you. And so this is... Mary's down, which is, and we just talked about Mary's last week because the founder just passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And so Mary's is a fantastic place, though. So it was you and your girlfriends at Mary's.
Yeah, it was like 15 or 20 of us.
That was a place that didn't hold very many people.
Yeah, we had that big table right next to the stage.
You're right down on the stage.
Uh-huh.
And if you all have been to Mary's, you know what we're talking about. It's just the one little tiny stage. Jukebox on the stage. Strippers select their own music. Was that one stripper there?
My favorite stripper was there. The one that has...
She's well endowed.
She's very well
endowed. Sort of a bigger girl.
Yeah, and she can do the...
I'm going to... That's...
Okay, she pretends to use strings.
She has muscles. She has chest muscles.
Chest muscles.
And she can rearrange
things.
She's
giving us lessons.
She can rearrange sections of her anatomy as though they were on...
She was hanging out clothes on a line.
Yes. It's like when you're pulling in the clothes in the Bronx.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's exactly what it was. And how great that you have a favorite stripper at Mary's.
Oh, she's wonderful.
Yeah, that's...
And by then, we were all, like, so drunk, and I'm, you know, I kept telling her over and over again she was my favorite.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, I mean, no, they don't mind that. I think strippers don't mind female attention. I guess same
well,
thing,
she actually
it's not
does something. Instead of, you know, just, like, dancing around on stage, she has a talent.
No.
She has a gimmick. I like gimmicks.
Indeed she does. All right. And so then, where did you do this? Because people have been asking why you can't do shots.
Oh, I just turned crazy.
Yeah. And so how many, by when were you very drunk last night?
Honestly, by the first bar. we sat at this place that has a really good happy hour and ended up staying there for a couple hours. And then we all walked from this place up to Silverado, then couldn't get in there, and then went to Scooters, which is right behind the Crystal Ballroom where they have dollar Jello shots.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So it doesn't feel like you're taking a shot, but everyone kept buying.
No, because it's like a candy.
I know. So they give us these trays full of shots, and everyone would be taking them. And
fantastic.
Then it got kind of blurry, and then I remember drinking some Bushmills with my friend Amber sitting at the rail.
And then you just things are fading in and out of your memory.
I know. Oh.
And so then, now, what is the next thing you remember after that?
Then I remember going to the space room.
You get from downtown to the space room driving?
No, we actually had designated drivers.
Well,
I stayed downtown.
All right.
I stayed downtown after work yesterday.
Okay.
And so a couple
just
of people
to get a head start.
Drove everybody back over.
Yeah. Put in some prep ahead of time.
Well, it started at 5, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you told me at one point you don't remember how, but you ended up at Jen Lane's house.
Yeah. No, I was wandering over. I bumped into her, wandered over there. Then wandered back over to, I think, Sabala's, and hung out with Amanda Pants and some other people. And then
you somehow got home.
And then went home.
And only later, only after like half an hour of intense thought and many cups of coffee, remembered it was Amanda who took
you home. Oh, this was also after a fight with the boyfriend, of course. That always happens.
Okay, and so now this is really what I was leading up to here. It was just really a long, it was just an opportunity to tell long stories about lesbians and lead up to you and your boyfriend's fight. Because this is, look, I don't mean to be disrespectful, and you tell me if I'm crossing a line here, because we try to be as edgy and in your face as this program is, we try to be respectful of all these things, but you guys do this a lot, where you have long nights that end in sort of a protracted period of silence.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but it is very sort of, this is a common theme. Because I asked you this morning, I'm like, so how was last night? You're like, oh, it was great. I'm really drunk and Nate's not talking to me again, but you know, what are you going to do? So, I mean, it's none of my business, I suppose, but do you like work this into your plans? Like ahead of time now?
Yeah, and today is, we've been together like 9 months today and he's not speaking to me. He won't speak to me. He said that he can't handle talking to me today. Because, okay, do you want to know why?
Yes.
Because they're coinciding bachelor and bachelorette parties.
Now, was he at the bachelor party?
Yeah, so he was at the bachelor party. So everyone makes it to the space room. That's where we're all going to meet up. Everyone.
Oh, that was a bad, 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 bad idea.
Tell you the punchline?
Okay, but let me just clarify what we're talking about first. Was this decided in advance that the bachelor party would go one way at the beginning of the night, the bachelorette party would go the other way at the beginning of the night, and then you would later meet up at the space room?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I could have... Look, I'm the world's lamest human being.
I told her that.
All right, the crypts will go this way, the bloods will go this way, and then we'll all meet up later on for fun.
It was a bad idea.
Yeah.
So they all left the Devil's Point. So everyone shows up at the space room, everyone that was there, except for Nate.
Oh.
He's the one person that didn't show up with the big group of guys. So I look at him like, hey, so what happened to Nate? And they're like, oh, I don't know. He was right behind us.
I don't know. He was talking to some blonde.
Yeah, he shows up 10 minutes later, and he's like, oh, I'm sorry, I was talking to a stripper. Yeah, because
where was the stripper at? At Devil's Point. How does anybody, that place is even tinier than Mary's.
I don't know, he was sitting there talking to a stripper about, I don't know, he probably doesn't want to.
About world politics, probably. Yeah.
I would imagine. The Middle East.
So he stayed behind.
Fuel prices.
He stayed behind alone, by himself, chatting it up with a stripper while all of his friends had already left. And then he's mad at me because I don't trust him.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah. And it's not that I didn't trust him. It's like, why didn't you just leave with your friends? What are you talking about to a stripper about?
I could be getting to regret this entire conversation.
I know.
I just wondered if that's the sort of thing you anticipate ahead of time. Like when like when you get your paycheck and you budget out, you're like, okay, well, I know that this 10% is going to be gone due to taxes. I wonder if like you just figure that out in your evening plans. You're like, okay, now I know there will be a period of 4 hours tomorrow when Nate doesn't talk to me. So I won't plan to do lunch right then. That's when I'll go and get my laundry taken care of. If you just sort of work it in ahead of time.
Yeah, he just gets all worked up and then just chooses not to deal with it. So today I'm not being spoken to because I brought up the fact that he stayed behind and talked to a stripper. The end.
It's all very awkward.
So now I'm dateless for the Willamette Week party.
Woo! Well, no, you and I are going together, though, so.
Okay.
Because you gotta be my flak jacket. It's like a 5-hour party, and so I will be going late, by the way, and leaving early. Because I don't know I'm going to talk to anybody. I mean, I know like 3 people at the Willamette. I will say hello to all of them. I will.
Stand
awkwardly in the corner. Hands in my pockets, looking at my shoes,
give
shuffling
them the
back
parade
in place.
Wave.
Yeah, I'll give them the Jackie O wave. and then I will go home, and that'll be the extent of that. All right. This is why, by the way, I do not attend events of that sort. Bachelor parties and I am not a prude. You know me, that I have no, it's not like I'm puritanical about such things. But bachelor parties and bachelorette parties always end badly.
Mm-hmm.
This is not some John and Jeff, like, call up and tell us your kookiest bachelor party story. Because there's no point, because we could go for 4 hours. You could do that all day. The last time, I will tell you this, right, do we have to break?
Yeah.
All right.
Let's finish the story before.
Well, but it's just going to lead me into, here's the thing. I will give a brief, why when I say here's the thing, does everybody just laugh now? Mm-hmm. I just said here's the thing, and Tim just begins to snicker. Oh, and there's Jim Roop calling. Man, we're so late. But I will give you a brief overview, and then we'll break, and we'll come back with Jim Roop. I'm just trying to corral all of my thoughts down.
That's
here.
That's what my TV sounds like when I'm surfing through the chest.
No, it's because
my life's falling apart.
You, if only I wasn't so poor and lonely.
Oh.
You should call your therapist right now. Would she do an on-air session? Would she do an on-air session with us?
I don't know.
What if you called your therapist right now?
But I don't want everyone to know my problems.
Okay. Do you listen to this radio show at all? Yes. I'm sure that no one knows anything about your life right now. We've been very circumspect so far today. You went to a bachelorette party. Nate went to a bachelorette. See, I was invited to my brother, and I haven't talked about this because it's so... It is.
You are the bad son.
I am. I'm a bad brother. I'm a bad son. I'm a bad relative. And everybody out there, everybody knows. Everybody knows. Congratulations, Rick. Everybody knows. Here's the thing. It's like if you're, you know, it's like if you're fat, you hang out with fatter friends. If you're a bad sibling or son, you just listen to this program because you are so good compared to me. I haven't talked about it because it really is honestly legitimately awkward. It's awkward on so many, because my brother had a bachelor party last week because my younger brother is getting married, which makes me feel so old. But my younger brother's getting married on Sunday, I think it is, and so they invited me to the bachelor party, and I'm like, thank you, no. Because first of all, I can't, it's weird to me to be around my younger brother when he's plastered, because like in my head he's always a little kid, you know what I mean?
Playing
like
with blocks.
That's it, totally. Lego. And it's like, I don't mean to sound overtly nostalgic or sentimental or whatever, but just he's my younger brother. How much younger is Heather than you?
She's a year and a half.
See, but that's not a big difference. Mm-hmm. And James is only 5 years younger than I, but still in my head, you're right, he's a little kid. In my head, he is always 5 or 6, and so. It's not that I disapprove, but it's weird seeing my brother get like plowed and just like with, you know, and it's a bachelor party, so you know there'll be strippers around, and it's like, it would just be too bizarre to be around.
Uncomfortable the next day, like.
I
was hearing things about lap dances.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
it's like,
you know,
I can't be at some party where it's like my younger brother is getting in the bag and like getting a lap dance. Like there's no, that is so bizarre. And you talk about therapy. That's an image I'd be scrubbing out of my brain. And you know that you'd hear about it. Even if you didn't see it. Your brother was so wasted last night. He had these three girls in the room. And I'm like, I don't want to know. Yeah. That's like only one step removed from walking in on your parents in the wheelbarrow position. Do you know what I mean? It's a thing.
But you don't want. He's been watching Captain Kangaroo.
Because in my head, he's still like playing with Play-Doh in the kitchen and like wearing plastic pants. So that's a thing. That's like, you don't want that image in your head.
Why don't we take Jim and then break so he doesn't have to wait?
All right. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show live from Los Angeles, CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop in the City of Angels. How are you, Jim?
I'm doing well. Actually, I'm in San Diego today.
San Diego, my favorite place. Where are you at in San Diego?
I'm at the Otay Mesa border.
Oh, man. I got to tell you, San Diego, I lived there before I came to Portland. That is a, I will live there again someday. That's where, someday when they fire my ass from here, that's where I'm going to end up. Living near the beach, sponging off my wife. That's it.
It sure is a pretty town, that's for sure.
It is. No, my life of leisure will be in San Diego.
I tell you, if I could afford it, I'd be in Mission Bay.
Man, Mission Bay is beautiful. Del Mar.
Yep.
Del Mar is fantastic. You know, and even the sort of beat down areas, though, are really pricey now. Like, we used to, a place called, we lived in Hillcrest, but then there's a beautiful place there called Ocean Beach that we liked a lot, and even that's getting really expensive, and that was sort of the rundown area.
Ocean Beach is really nice now.
Ocean Beach is beautiful, but it's becoming really expensive now. It's
Yeah, yeah.
Welcome to Real Estate Talk with Rick and Jim. You got a lot of stuff going on. Did you see that story today about how the beaches in California make like 1.5 million people sick every year?
Yeah, I did that story yesterday.
Is that what? Well, it's amazingly enough, we weren't told about that, so I'm running late.
It's mostly from storm runoff. However, there's not that many storms here, so it's got to be something else.
And well, that's storm runoff. What does that even mean? I mean,
means people when they change the oil in their car, let the dogs poop in the. And the driveway, they just wash it into the storm drain.
Oh, that's no good. That's like, and people are like dumping their antifreeze into the water and whatever.
Yeah.
But
we don't have antifreeze out here.
No. I guess you don't. But you got that. Of course, the heat doesn't help any of that. And then there's all kinds of stuff going on in California right now. There's, what is it? By the end of the month, there's 6,000 National Guard guys are going to be in the border.
Yeah, well, that's President Bush's Operation Jumpstart, where he wants 6,000 National Guard troops along the southern border in, you know, Texas, Arizona, California, so on and so forth, New Mexico.
Right.
In California, it's 1,100 guardsmen. There are 900 deployed already, and the National Guard just had a little news conference and a little tour of the border to show us what they're going to be doing while the Border Patrol gets back out there and does some enforcement.
Have you heard about this plan? I think we might have mentioned this to you. This plan, if somebody is instituting to just have a bunch of webcams all around the border so people are sitting at home and can watch their computer and see if illegals are sneaking over?
Yeah, I've heard about that. Not sure if that's actually happening or not, but I've heard that.
Why don't they just put them in people's gardens in Beverly Hills and on the West Side?
See, that's exactly Tim's point is exactly what they're taking. If they want to send the National Guard to stop illegals, why don't they just send them up into the gardens and kitchens of, like, half the people who live in Beverly Hills? I mean, seriously, if we're really going to crack down on this, and don't get me wrong, I am the first to admit that illegal immigration is a big problem. And as I've always said, you can't fix the boat's steering while water's still coming in over the side. This country's got problems. I don't view it. I mean, I suppose it is a race issue, but I don't view it as that. I view it as simply you can't fix something while people are pouring in over the side. It's just.
But it's not. It's nowhere near a race issue. Because it, you know, this just, I mean, we're also doing things along the northern border, too, you know.
Right.
But not that many people cross the northern border. There's Border Patrol up there. There's surveillance up there. We're watching things up there, mainly because it's more for terrorists than anything else. And that's part of the reason why we're down here in the southern border, too. There's just a millions of people come across that damn thing every year. And, you know, they just want to stop it because it's eating us alive.
And
it has nothing to do with.
No, and the fact that
all these Canadian gardeners coming in.
Yes, yes, exactly. that joke failed right there. I was trying to think of a Canadian that we don't like. If they could just keep, insert an annoying Canadian, Celine Dion. If they could just keep Celine Dion, see how funny that joke would have been. That joke would have earned the Ed McCarthy laugh. See, there you go. See, Ed,
but it's still funny.
Yeah, it is. But if they really are serious about illegal immigration, they really ought, Tim's exactly right, they ought to take the National Guard, and they just got to start going into one warehouse after another, one lumber yard after another, one factory after another, one garden after another, and deal with the illegals themselves who clearly don't have a great life. Everybody understands that. But talk to the guy who owns that factory, who is passing over American workers. And I may be ranting about this, but I mean, the guy who's out there every day employing illegal aliens. That's the guy the National Guard ought to be talking to.
Well, again, you are on the pulse of what's happening, because that's indeed part of this whole plan. This Operation Jumpstart is they're doing more crackdown of businesses that are hiring illegals, of even homeowners that are hiring illegals. So the crackdown is there right now, but like you say, you can't fix the steering of the boat while the water still is rushing in. So they have to sort of slow the water that's rushing in the boat so they can start fixing it. And, you know, part of the problem is the people that are already here.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Hey, let me ask you this. Do you have awkward bachelor party stories?
Yes.
From your own personal life. Do you have a bachelor party story you would like to share before we end the segment here?
Yeah, you were talking about your brother.
Yeah, see, because it's...
I left my brother's bachelor party because I just could not watch my baby brother get involved in things that were going on there.
How, of course, in radio-friendly terms, what were these activities of a prurient nature?
There was close contact of... Well, of an extraordinary kind.
How do I put this?
It started out with a wrestling demonstration by two female wrestlers.
Of course, as it always does.
And it evolved into my brother getting involved in the match.
Oh.
He got pinned.
And then he was pinned cowgirl style.
Yeah, and it was not nice, you know, because my mom was in town. She flew in from Ohio, you know.
How lovely for her.
You know, I know she was going to say, "How was the bachelor party last night, Jimmy?" And I would have to say, "You should have seen your baby son."
Seriously. And so this way you at least had plausible deniability. I left. I wasn't there. I can't testify.
That's the term, plausible deniability. I said, you know, I didn't see that. I was out getting beer.
Yeah, there you go. That's exactly the right answer.
Was that at the Tropicana by any chance?
Fantastic.
Is that my house?
Oh, did you get your carpets power cleaned after that?
I got the whole place steam washed, man.
That's what I'm talking about. You just have some guys in the white Devo suits come in and just spray everything down with disinfectant.
We all got, you know, it just felt dirty the next day.
You just give that sponge bath to the whole house. All right.
What was weird about that was the bachelor party was the Friday, it was Thursday. The rehearsal dinner was Friday evening, and the wedding was Saturday.
Oh.
And that rehearsal dinner, there was a whole lot of silence and staring going on between the guys who attended.
A whole lot of awkward, uncomfortable silences between men.
And I started drinking. I wanted to say, "Hey, Dan, how'd you do with, you know?" But I
how'd you do with candy?
Hey,
woo!
four down there this morning, pal.
Oh, they're a hot little number.
I couldn't do it.
Oh, Jesus, God. All right. This is exactly why we turn to the expertise of CNN.
Thanks.
All right. Jim Rubin, Los Angeles. Thank you, brother. Enjoy San Diego.
Thank you, sir.
All right. There you go. Get an orchata for me, my friend. All right. There you go. That's Jim Rubin. We have to break now, don't we? That's a yes. I haven't even talked about my wedding catastrophe, which is coming up this weekend, which I can feel approaching us like a red dawn. Jesus. Now I'm awkward. All right. Sarah and I are just looking at each other uncomfortably. We didn't even do anything. Back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 South State Radio. It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Thank you for coming by. You can email if you like. RickEmerson.com. Do you see that Leah Remini quote?
Yeah, that's weird.
All right. Here's why it's weird. I have not forgotten the bachelor party thing. We'll talk about that.
I read it over a few times before it actually struck me as something really odd to say.
We'll talk about the wedding. See, that's a guarantee right there. We'll talk about the wedding. We'll get to the city desk here in a moment. We'll talk about this. I swear to God. We'll talk about the Tom Cruise, Katie Holmes thing. The baby.
What baby?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Later on, we'll do our rock star recap. Do a little after 2 o'clock. I wanted to get to this, the top five, but who knows? Oh, we've got these messages from David Cassidy to play. I do have to talk about the wedding thing really quickly, and I won't go on and on about it. Just to say that I am the bad son and the bad brother, and here's the thing. So Sarah went on the bachelorette party last night. Her boyfriend went to and here's the thing about that, by the way. Because you went on the bachelorette party, Nate went to the bachelor party, and then the idea, warrior style, was that you'll all meet up at the end of the night. I could have told everybody. I'm surprised he didn't know it was a bad idea.
I didn't even want to go. I didn't want to meet up with everybody because I knew
it's a terrible idea.
It's a horrible idea.
And I'm not saying, look, I know when you guys met up later, I know he's the only guy that wasn't there. Everybody showed up at him, and he was off talking to his stripper, in case you missed that. I'm not saying that. We all know that Nate didn't do anything with the stripper. I know that he wouldn't do that. He's a good guy. I have faith in Nate that he would not do anything like that, so that's not even an issue. But he's got to know how that would look, especially to you when you're plastered.
No, and
he's got to know that when you're drunk and looking for a fight, as you often are, that's going to look bad.
Well, yeah, because everybody else's significant other showed up. Yeah, and he knows where we've been. We've been drinking since 5 o'clock in the evening.
Guys have got to learn, it's not just impropriety, it is the appearance of impropriety.
Yes.
That's enough to light that.
It's not the not trusting thing. It's the why did you stay late talking to a stripper when all of your friends already left the bar?
And even if it's innocent, sometimes being innocent isn't enough. You got to also look innocent in addition to
being. Just wrap up that conversation 10 minutes earlier, and then we wouldn't have been having this problem.
And then none of this unpleasantness would have occurred. But speaking of unpleasantness, and I will not dwell on this, except to say that I am a loser, and a terrible son, and a terrible child, and all of that, and a terrible brother. Because my brother James, whose bachelor party I did not attend because I don't want to see anybody being rubbed in any way by a stripper. I did not go, but his wedding is coming up this weekend. We talked about it a little bit. We talked about this a little bit a few weeks ago when it was determined that my future sister-in-law, that his fiance, we learned that apparently the bride's family is expected to pay for everything at most of these weddings.
Yes.
Apparently that's a tradition.
That is a tradition.
No, apparently that's a tradition.
Time honored through the centuries.
apparently that tradition has been left in the past. Apparently those days are over. Or no one told the bride's family, who's obscenely wealthy, by the way. No one has told the bride's family that apparently in tradition holds that they should be paying for things. So I get this email about 5 months ago, because my brother's, he's doing this kind of a cool thing. He's doing this thing where he has three best men. There's no one best man. It's two guys that he has known for a long time, like a guy he's known since grade school, and like I think a guy he's known since high school, and then me, the sibling that spent all the time with him growing up, that we're bonded together, that we're like Huck and Tom and so forth. And so, but the problem comes, his fiance, she's a great girl. She's very nice, very charming, very, very funny, all of that. But the problem with his fiance is that she's a photographer. And that's, I think, what she's studying. She's studying to be a photographer. She's getting like a master's. Did you ever see like somebody gets a master's in something you didn't even really know that you could learn that much about? Like she's getting like a graduate degree in taking pictures, and I don't really understand beyond
she
point
can load the
and
film
shoot
a lot quicker than somebody
that's,
who doesn't.
Really, that's what I'm saying. Apart from like looking at the dial to see how many flashes are left, and then like Like doing the thing where you wave the picture in the air to get it. I don't really understand what there is to learn. But she's a photographer. And so the problem is she's doing, she's like 20-something. I'm not wrong to guess at her age. She's 20-something. But she's doing that whole thing of the whole, I've been looking to this forward to this moment my entire life. Every step I've taken has led me to this day of my wedding on Sunday.
Oh, God.
Oh, like on My Fair Brady.
I've been planning every detail of this wedding for 25 years. And so to that end, because she's a photographer, to that end, she has been planning all of the wedding photographs, like on one stage or another, for like 2.5 decades. So I get an email about 5 months ago from my brother, James, who is a good son and will be a good husband to me. I am none of those things. Saying, hey, by the way, Catherine's, you know, this is not only going to be a wedding, it's going to be a huge photography project for her. She's going to make a whole scrapbook, a whole book full of the wedding photos. So everything has to be just right. Here's the suit that all the best men need to wear. And he sends me a picture of the suit, a link to the suit, the place where they sell the suit, which is J. Crew. It's like, we're all going to be wearing these matching Irish linen suits. So everybody needs to buy these. You all need to look the same. Everything's got to be perfect. So what do I do? Do I buy the suit right away? Do I immediately rush to the store? Do I perhaps click on the link and go online and immediately reserve the suit, thus making sure that it's available? No, I do none of those things. I promptly put the email in my stuff to look at later folder and forget about it until 2 weeks ago. Email, I mean, it's nobody's fault but mine, as Robert Plant would say. I am blaming no one. This is like that thing I was talking about, Lara and me and our social interactions with other people. This is not his fault. This is no one's fault but my own. He sent everybody the suit email 5 months ago. I ignored it until 3 weeks ago. I went to J. Crew. It turns out that Irish linen suit that I am supposed to wear with the other two best men, because we all have to have exactly the same suit for the photographs that she's been planning for 25 years... It turns out that is not only a very popular suit, it's, to quote the guy who helped me at J. Crew, it's the single most popular suit of the year. It's sold out. It's been sold out for months. They canvassed the entire country looking for the suit. They checked at every J. Crew outlet in the continental United States, and I swear to Christ, one in Hawaii. The suit can't be found. There is no suit. The suit is gone.
There's one seamstress making some hovel in Ireland.
Yeah. Now, the suit's... Here's how far I've gone to try to... And look, I'm here talking about this on the radio, and it's maybe perversely amusing or darkly funny in some way. It's not going to be funny on Sunday. They're going to hang me.
They are going to be so mad at
me. They're going to cut my intestines out and feed them to me.
I know, like, brides who've been, like, girls who've been dreaming about their weddings since they were little.
They're going to cut my friggin' head off. And I don't mean that figuratively.
If she's a good bride, she better have, like, a spare suit or something. Maybe you can borrow that.
Would you like me to tell you how seriously my future sister-in-law, my brother's fiance, I'm not trying to poke fun. Everybody's got their own deal. But she's a photographer and a girl, which is a bad combination when you're the guy, like, effing up the arrangements by being the... Because the two best men, they're going to have... Everybody who's involved in the wedding ceremony that has a penis, every man will have this Irish linen suit. I took a suit that, in the words of the J. Crew guy... It's kind of the same. Different fabric, different cut, similar color, not the same color.
Well, if the photographs are black and white, maybe you can get away with it.
Yeah, one is Irish. That's what I should have done for that classic
look. It'll be Photoshop.
Kind of a noir thing. They'll just paste in the other guy. No, this one suit is Irish, mine's Italian. One is sandstone, mine is like beige. One's cut a certain way, mine not so much.
Sandstone and beige are...
The other suits came with a matching shirt. I'm going to have something for the gap. That's what I'm going to be wearing. No, this is the best part. Here is how, this is completely true. My mom will tell you this. This is how serious my future sister-in-law, my brother's fiance, this is, the wedding is on Sunday. The rehearsal is on Friday. Here is how serious she is taking it. She, and my mom, keep in mind, my mom is not even in the ceremony. My mom is just sitting in the front row sniffling. That's all she's doing. My mom is just going to be in this front row crying at her baby boy getting married. So my brother's fiance went so far, this is the God's honest truth, my mom told this to me when we were having dinner when she was in town, that my sister, my brother's fiance called my mom and was like, so we're getting everything ready for this. By the way, my sister-in-law doesn't know that I don't have the suit yet, unless she's listening, which I don't think she is, because I think she lives in Montana still. But I, although her parents live in town, hello! How are you? Sorry, sorry about ruining your wedding this coming Sunday.
You're going to be the valet.
My mom is
not going to cry. You know she's not going to let you in the wedding.
Oh, I know. No, and you hear nothing. Nothing.
That's totally going to be what's going to happen. Well, you know what? You'll get a free pass out because she's not going to let you stand up there with all those people.
But listen to this. My mom is not even in the wedding. My mom is just sitting in the audience, and she asked my mom to come. color her hair to a different color for the picture. Now, keep in mind.
Oh, you are so screwed.
Keep in mind, my mom is not gray. My mom still has her natural hair color. It's not that my mom's hair was gray and the fiance wanted it to be a different color. You know, they wanted it to be gray. Didn't want it to be gray. She asked my mom, and my mom declined, by the way. She asked my mom, she's like, so would you mind maybe for the wedding? I mean, I know you're not in it. I know you're just like sitting in the front row, but would you mind, could you color your hair a different color for the wedding? You know, just for the photographs. Could you get a different color for your hair? And my mom was like, no. My mom actually just said no.
Good
she's like,
for
I'm
her.
Not, gonna, I'm not gonna do that. My mom's like, you know, I bought a dress. I bought new shoes. And my mom is not a dressy person. She's not a fancy, but she's a very simple woman. My mom's like, you know, I bought a whole bunch of clothes. I'm not coloring my hair for your wedding pictures. And that was left alone.
Good for
that
her.
You, okay, but see, that you can get away with. You can get away with not coloring your hair for the wedding photos. I'm in the ceremony. I'm going to be the one guy who doesn't have the right. Did I mention, by the way, that they've checked every store in the continental United States? I've known about this for a couple weeks, and I haven't even mentioned it on the air because it's so unpleasant. I know it's funny for all of you. Everyone there is laughing. You'll be laughing even more when I come in with whip marks on my back. But it's so awkward that this is the first time I've even mentioned it, because the whole thing just gives me agita even to talk about it. Even to mention it, now I'm breaking out in a sweat.
Yeah, you're not going to have a fun weekend.
And you know, normally
there's
you come
no,
in and
there's
you,
no way around it.
No.
You ruined her wedding.
I have ruined her wedding.
She will hate you forever.
The wedding hasn't even happened and I've ruined it.
Yep, you've totally ruined it.
As
you're
it
not going to be in it.
And
well,
you know,
at least you got out of it, because she's not going to let you take the picture.
And I'm never going to be invited to their house. And you know how sometimes you come on the air, and Sarah, team, you know this. You come on the air, something's bothering you, like if Sarah and I are having one of our 5 times a year big fights, where neither of us will admit that anything's wrong, neither of us will speak to each other. It's like Lansing is it. You know, you come in, you mention it, and then you feel better. I don't feel any better. You know why?
Because the problem's not solved.
Because the
my
problem's
friend.
Not solved. It's Wednesday. The rehearsal is Saturday or Friday, or I think it's Friday night. The wedding is Sunday. So she's going to find out on Friday I don't have the suit. And then I got Friday night, Saturday, Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon. All the time in the world to think about the wedding coming up on Sunday that I have already ruined. Yeah, there you go.
I'm nervous for you.
It's fantastic. It's going to be the best wedding ever. Especially the part where there's a big black block put over me in the photographs.
No, I'm betting hands down that if you wear that suit, she's going to have you taken out of the wedding.
Forcibly.
That's
seriously,
fine.
You're going to be just put in the audience with a smile on your face.
I know, almost. Yeah, but I probably have the wrong hair color.
You're
going to
be parking cars.
They'll be serving escargot. I'll be like that guy in the episode of Entourage talking to drama.
How many other groomsmen are there?
Two. Well, there's my brother. There's three best men. I am one of three best men.
Okay.
And then there's whatever. I don't even know who's involved in a wedding. I don't know what you have. And then there's like the halfback. I don't know. There's however many guys there are. All the guys are wearing the same suit. Except for me. Because I tried to get it. But it's in my own defense.
You tried to get it half off?
No. In my own. And I told the guy when I went in, and he was like this Lloyd guy from Entourage. He was sort of this.
He's my favorite.
No, he was sort of this great, really flamboyantly gay, like Chinese man. And I explained to him, and he's like, oh, your mother is going to kill you. And I'm like, I know, thanks, pal. Can you just find it? He's like, okay. And he was so great, though. He was so helpful. He was like, oh, look, I am putting a national search on it. If it is anywhere in the continental United States, we will get it here. And I'm like, dude, I will pay. His name was Jamie. Thank you, Jamie. I'm like, Jamie, I will pay anything. Like, I told him, I said, if I have to pay $1,000 to fly this suit in from somewhere, I will do it, because my mom... It's not that I don't care about what my sister-in-law thinks of my brother. It's my mom is going to cut my heart out. She's going to pull out my spine and kick it down a hill. In my own defense, whoever heard of a store running out of a suit? I mean, I come from a different world where Sears has a certain kind of pants all the time. Sears doesn't run out of tough skins. Who knew that J. Crew would just run out of suits?
It's wedding season.
Yeah, but I didn't. Yeah. Anyway,
all
so
right,
there you go.
I've got a break. Do you feel
God
better?
Damn. No, I don't. And you know, here's the thing is with every day I'm going to feel worse.
You're just getting more and more worked
because
up.
Because I've been holding all of this inside, and I thought I would release it and feel better, and I don't because I don't want to...
Because it's impending. There's nothing
maybe
to
somebody
do.
Else
impending. It's impending. I should make the other guys change their suit too. We should all wear the same bad Plan B suit. Which I had to pay, and I had to pay an absurd amount of money to get the Plan B suit overnighted to me.
Is it returnable?
Probably.
No.
Good.
Especially if I don't wear it when they kick me out of the wedding on Friday, when I show up in the wrong suit. God damn, I hate my life.
Oh. Let's break.
Well, it's
Jesus
too bad.
Jesus Christ, I wish I was dead. All right, so,
Then we'll actually get to some news next hour.
Sure.
All right.
Look at
we
all
gotta
those
do
papers.
And we gotta do the Rockstar recap, too. And the David Cassidy call. Oh, and then I gotta set myself on fire for Friday. Yeah, I don't feel any better at all. That was not, that didn't feel cathartic in any way. I don't feel relieved. There's no pressure that's been released. I need a shiatsu or something. Or to call your shrink. All right. Well, there you go. We'll be back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970.
There goes the last DJ who plays what he wants to play.